You're listening to Hottery Humble.
Hello there.
Wow.
Welcome, welcome to episode 18 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast. I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle, and I'm joined today, as is normal, by the greatest value on the planet, Chad Graham.
When I see your face, my Tommy Stickle.
I did not recognize that song. What was that song?
Hearts Burst Into Fire, Bullet For My Valentine.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you
Happy
now.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tom.
Okay. On December 2nd, Happy Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving, Chad?
It was pretty good. I did not follow through our challenge.
I knew you wouldn't.
I didn't do it. Oh, I had my chance. I had a chance. Ooh. The mashed potatoes were not good.
Who made them? Can you admit it?
My mother-in-law made them.
Ooh.
They weren't great. Mm. And I was like, here it is. I've got a chance. I was even going to record it. And she spent literally she spent the previous day and like from like 8 a.m. to about 1 p.m. cooking. And I just couldn't. And I tried to offer help. So like, hey, can I help with anything? Like, no. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't be that guy, even to say just kidding later. Like she would laugh it off and be a good sport. But I couldn't be that guy. Couldn't do it.
Got it. Yeah, I definitely didn't even think for a second about doing your advice. I didn't really think it was good advice, but maybe somebody did it out there. And if you did,
the advice was to tear them down, insult a family member, but then also try to bring them back up. I couldn't do it. I just didn't have it in me.
I don't blame you.
It crossed my mind, but couldn't be that guy.
I understand. That's okay. It's okay. You've let us down just a slight bit.
However, I did laugh at the table just to myself, just thinking about talking about how the mashed potatoes they weren't great, but the sweet potatoes were fantastic.
So the mashed potatoes, if you listen to the last episode, Isaiah Joe also didn't necessarily have the best of games. So, it fits. My mashed potatoes, we actually didn't have mashed potatoes. Now that I'm thinking about it, we had scalloped potatoes for ours. They were delicious. They were one of the best sides for the meal. I also did a trash can turkey.
Sounds like something a Canadian would have. Canadians don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Good point. I successfully made a trash can turkey, which was fun. Have you ever heard of that?
Not until you made one, you big redneck.
Yeah, it was fun. It actually has a benefit. So basically what it is you take a Oscar the Grouch metal trash can, you put a stake in the ground, like metal or wooden, you put some tinfoil, aluminum foil down on the ground, and you just put the bird on it, and then you put the trash can on top, and then you put charcoal on the top of it and around the edges. Super simple, was super easy, and you get the added benefit of being able to use your oven for baking everything you need for your Thanksgiving meal. That was kind of the cool thing. So, normally you've got your turkey in there forever, however long you need in your oven. Well, this frees up the oven for other stuff, and it cooked in there for about 2 hours and was perfect. Turkey. So,
Can you eat the trash can afterwards?
The trash can is good. I haven't done it enough to know how many uses you get out of your trash can. I think eventually the top or the bottom of the trash can, depending on, when you're cooking it, it'd be the top. But eventually that's got to get weak and maybe fall through. But I think you've got a solid 5 to 10 out of
are
each
there
one.
Any negative impacts to the environment, Tom?
No, I don't think at all. I'm trying to think of one. I mean, you're burning charcoal. I think it's a natural. I think charcoal's natural, and then I don't know though if burning charcoal is good for. I don't know.
I'm just checking, just making sure we're checking all the boxes. It's super cool, really cool video.
Yeah, it worked out. So try that at home, people, if you're so inclined.
Trash can turkey. Does it apply to anything else? Can you trash can anything else, like burgers?
We actually talked about that. I wouldn't do burgers, but if you had like a nice...
Why not?
Anything that you can stick through a steak in the ground, like a nice a nice Boston butt or like some pork loin.
Nice Boston butt.
Or whatever, like any slab of meat. I mean, you couldn't do ribs. But there's some bones in there that might get in the way. But
Anything
you can slide over a metal steak, dude, you'd be good to go. And it's good. It works out well. It's a very good turkey. Not a shade over 2 hours, I'm telling you. 2 hours, perfecto.
Where did you get this idea from?
The internet. It's where all good ideas come from, the internet. So let's get into it, Chad. We had a basketball game on Saturday, had a football game on Saturday. Of course, we're going to talk about the basketball game first. Against Northern Kentucky was a nail biter, so to speak. First half, pretty sluggish. Second half, we pulled out a nice 66-60 victory. But it was a very sluggish game. Northern Kentucky kind of made us sweat a little bit for it, but we pulled it out. Any thoughts that you had from that game?
You gotta win ugly sometimes. We didn't have our best player, Mason Jones, arguably our best player, obviously our highest scorer. So he apparently had a shoulder injury, so no Mason Jones. We essentially played six players, Tommy.
Yeah.
We played six guys. Think about that, because even though Scylla, Vanilla by Design, Garbage Zilla,
just
started the game, he played 6 minutes. So he didn't really play. Adriel only played 19 minutes. So they didn't play great. And Isaiah Joe shot 2 out of 10 from 3. Isaiah, I know you're listening. Like, we got to get it together. Like, you're our shooter. You make shots. We're going to have a campfire. Don't make me have a one-on-one talk with Isaiah Joe like we did Chad Morris. I'll do it.
Yes.
I about had it. So... it wasn't good. I actually went to the game. I took my daughter, and there was some good energy in the arena, but luckily Jimmy Witt pulled through with 24 points. Reggie Janey got us some good minutes and 11 boards. That's what we need out of him. We got the defensive end, Jamario Bell, added to the roster. He was warming up. He did not enter the game, obviously, but I'm excited to see what a defensive end. He's 6'5", he's 6'6", somewhere around there, and pushing 260. We're going to see what that guy can do down low. You know, like, give me 10 minutes a game. Give me 3 or 4 fouls in those 10 minutes, right? give me a couple rebounds. Just a bruiser. I'm excited to see him. This guy broke backboards in high school, Tommy. Broke them.
I know. I must have just missed that, because whenever you mentioned that via text, I was like, what the heck? How did I not know about that? But did you see Musselman's press conference today, I believe, where he previewed, I think it was today, where he talked a little bit more about what he expects of Bell on
no,
the team?
I didn't see that.
He basically said, at Nevada, he had two football players who he let join the team, and he definitely mentioned for practice. He definitely didn't say he's definitely getting time on the floor at all. I think it's going to be a little while before we see him actually get into game. I think he mentioned that those guys bring a lot of energy to the bench because they're excited to play basketball because they've been playing another sport, and moving to something new just feels fun and exciting. So they bring a lot of enthusiasm and kind of boost the other guys. But I don't know. So I would say this, if he actually does start getting time on the floor, that's really impressive and should be a big deal, because I don't think that should be expected at this point.
I can make a case that he deserves playing time over Gene Tall, Silla, any day of the week, Tommy. All of those minutes should be taken away. What was interesting is we finally broke on our defense, our perimeter defense. They shot 33% from three, which is, I mean, isn't great. Like Northern Kentucky shot 33% from three. At the same time, we were giving up 16 to 18% from three-point land, so they started off really hot in the first half. So that was kind of, you know, a new thing we hadn't seen. The defensive intensity wasn't there that we normally saw. How much was it with Mason Jones not being out there? I don't know. Adrio, again, only played 19 minutes. He's kind of he's our leader. He's our turkey, right?
He's our turkey.
Turkey. So, wasn't there. They're missing something. You can just kind of tell from the beginning.
Yeah, Jalen Harris was really the guy that stepped up as far as minutes-wise, played a lot of minutes that he wasn't used to. Reggie played a lot too, but Jalen, man, he stepped up and had a good game when we needed him. I just looked at the stat sheet, and I didn't realize that Northern Kentucky only had four different players score any points. Four. That's it. One guy scored 30, one guy scored 6, 14, 10, and then 0 for everybody else. Kind of weird. Yeah. 0 bench points. Probably not a recipe for success, but I do think Northern Kentucky will probably be a team that I don't know if you'll say will look good at the end of the year, but definitely will be one that's like, oh yeah, that was a fairly good victory, you know? I'm glad we pulled that one out.
I'll say this. I mean, I don't know if you watched at the end, but I mean, the end of the box score showed we won by 6 points, but I mean, it came down to the wire. Like, Hogs were up 2, and Northern Kentucky had the ball, you know, with a minute left. So thankfully, not like last year's crew, we made 4 free throws in a row, which was nice. Same time, they still had a chance to either tie or go ahead, and they went for the go-ahead 3 and missed, but
yeah, they had a nice little – I feel like they ran a very similar play, or at least it resulted very similarly twice, where they had, like, wide-open looks from the corner, and he missed them both, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah, so I don't know if you'd say we got lucky. Sometimes you make your own luck, but at the end of the day, we'll be glad we won.
Those are two games in a row now that we've – I mean, you got to win those ugly games. Not every game's going to be pretty. I'm glad we pulled them out, but – we keep on this little slide we got going on. It's gonna, you know, it's not gonna be good. We got Austin Peay tomorrow, 7 o'clock Tuesday, December 3rd, and then Saturday, the 7th, we got at Western Kentucky. That's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be tough. Every road game's tough. Western's good. So ESPN is predicting Western to win. 53% chance.
Wow.
Whatever that means. Matchup predictor.
Interesting.
Apparently Mason Jones could have played, I guess, last Saturday for emergency. So I haven't heard any word about him tomorrow, but hopefully he'll be back for that Western game. We'll meet him.
Yeah, Musk kind of gave a update today. He just said that it's, you know, day to day, I guess. It's something with his shoulder. I think he said it's an AC joint thing. And he said it doesn't impact his shooting, it impacts his defense. So I'm sure that there is some way he has to move that it's uncomfortable, but my guess is that he will play.
Yeah. Here's my biggest concern, Tommy, for Western. I don't know if you remember playing Western last year. Did you watch that game?
I don't remember it at the top off the top of my head right now.
Western has a 5-star recruit. He's a sophomore now, so he didn't go pro after last year. But he's a center, and he's a 5-star guy. He's 6'11". He's a center, and him and Gafford, like, went at it last year. And so he's averaging 15 points a game, nearly 10 rebounds a game. He's, 52% from the field. This guy is, like, their star, right? They got a pretty good guard, too, another forward, but Charles Bassey's his name, and this guy, I remember him and Gafford couldn't slow him down. So you think about 6'11", who's going to guard that? I mean, we got to stick Chaney on 230, you know? So we have nobody to stop a player like Charles Bassey. So, again, Musselman's game plan are always awesome. I love how he gets ready for games and how he executes his plan. But, man, they're going to have to do something. They have to double team him. That's, I mean, I'm curious to see how we respond to that.
Yeah, that's insane. How did I not pick up on that? Just no, I have no visibility to that. But yeah, you're exactly right. This guy was ranked like the number six player in the nation.
Yeah.
Why is he at Western Kentucky?
Coach Rick Stansbury, is that his name? He was at Mississippi State. So when he went over there, yeah, he was able to get a couple of good recruiting classes. So
he's pretty good. He always seemed,
but no joke, man.
He always seemed like a good, well put together coach.
So that's something to look out for on Saturday. I mean,
how are we going to stop him?
How do we handle a true big man? I mean, a couple games, they just played Louisville, the number one team in the country. He scored 14 and had nine, almost had a double-double against Louisville, the best team in the country. Then before that, he dropped 24 and 12. He's got a 19 and 12 game. This guy's getting a double-double each game, right? He can shoot free throws. So it'll be tough.
It will be very interesting. I'm with you. I'm excited to see how we do with that matchup. It could be a tough one. I mean, it could be he could destroy us. But
yeah,
we'll see.
That's,
we'll see if we can handle
him. Could easily lose. They have four people who are shooting above 40% from 3-point land too. So. You kick it into Bassey in the middle, inside out, three to a guard who's open if you're double teaming him. So, something to look out for. Not gonna be an easy one.
But if we
who's gonna guard him?
It's one of those games that I think from you know, the less tapped in fan, you know, a fan that doesn't really know
Western
this stuff.
Kentucky.
Practically me, because I didn't even realize they had such a good guy, even though I just missed it last year. If we beat Western Kentucky, people are like, yeah, of course we beat Western Kentucky. They're Western Kentucky, but they're a very good team, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So if we can pull that win off, that would be very, very nice. So get pumped, fans. Got a good one.
Be a good one.
Let's
You're
talk-
just an hour away. You should go up there.
Bowling Green. That's true.
Come on up there.
I don't see that happening with the things in my life right now, but maybe. Speaking of things in my life, I got to get ready for Christmas. I got to get decorations Christmas? Up and stuff. What have you gotten any Christmas lights or any lawn things up yet?
This is the first year we've done it. My kids have begged me to do it, so I'm finally doing it. We got a blow-up snowman that's 7 feet tall.
Whoa.
In the front, right? We got some light. I'm not going to get up on a ladder, though, and put lights on the house. Ugh, scares me. So we, like, decorated a tree, got, like, some snowflakes in our tree, did, like, our front porch with some lights, and then super cheesy, but we got, like, a Santa Claus hanging from the gutter. You seen those?
Oh.
So
that's sounding, you know, in the grand scheme of Christmas lights, that's sounding like a B-.
Our plan is to grow on it each year.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you actually get on a ladder and hang up, you know, some lights on the gutter, that's probably like a B almost automatically, depending on what you do. Yeah. But if you can't
Live
commit
reaction.
To getting on a ladder.
Just sent you a picture. See your live reaction here. This is all me.
All
my work doing here.
I guarantee what I've done so far is that was it's a little bit less than what I was expecting, to be honest, Chad. When you say there's lights on a tree, it's one strand.
There's snowflakes.
There's snowflakes. I like the 7-foot snowman. He looks very well planted in the ground. Yeah, there's a lot of room for growth there.
Oh, yeah. Start small.
But
my kids didn't do anything to help. Zero help.
Yeah.
There are more work out there.
So I'm going to rate it a C. yeah, having seen it. I think C's fair. And mine is even worse because this is the first year I've ever done any Christmas anything. And for, you know, when we went to my family for Thanksgiving, we go to my wife's for Christmas every year. And so we always do, you know, Christmas stuff at Thanksgiving. And so one of our presents was we got our first inflatables for yard decoration. So we got a Chase and a Marshall inflatable for the yard. So we put that up yesterday. That's about all we're going to do. So literally, that's probably like the bare minimum. If you want to give me an F, that's fine. But it's probably a D minus, but maybe one day.
D plus.
I feel like they're installed well. They're not going to blow away. I can tell you that. So maybe I get a D plus for just that alone. But two Paw Patrol inflatables in the yard. That's about all I got. But I did go and get a Christmas tree tonight. We always go to Kroger to get our live tree. Saves us a little money. $35 was the price. So I think we got a nice tree this year.
You don't go cut your own down? What's wrong with you?
No, not don't do that.
But I don't do that.
Do you do live tree or do you do a fake tree?
Fake.
We've always done live. I don't know. I guess we just like it. But either way,
seems like too much work.
It is quite a bit of work, to be honest. But we like it. I've gotten in this, I guess, tradition, stumbled upon it, where, you know, when you get a live tree, you always got to chop off the stump, so that it opens up the pores so that it can suck up water. If you don't do that, it's like all blocked or whatever. Had that happen one of the first years we did a live tree, screwed that one up. Learned my lesson. Smarter now. So so now I just honestly, out of just being lazy, I kept all of those tree stump parts that I cut off, and then I started labeling them for what Christmas it was. So now I have this collection of like Christmas tree stump things. So like Christmas 2019 or whatever. So
nice.
I don't know.
How many you got?
Since 2012, I think. So quite a few stacking up.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Sometimes you stumble into traditions. So that's let's give a little update on Kyrie Walker's situation. I know you and I both aren't feeling really optimistic about it. I saw a update from Danny West, who apparently, I guess, talks with him. I don't know.
He talked to him.
He's with 24/7, you know, hogsports.com. I am a member there or whatever, so I get to see some of his more VIP stuff. And basically, he said today that Arkansas is still interested in Kyrie Walker. Definitely seems like they would want him if he decided to come. But he said that he didn't really say a specific reason why it wouldn't work out, but he is doubtful that it's going to work out for Kyrie to join the team. It just seems like there's some dots that have to get connected that likely won't happen, which makes sense. I mean, it seems weird that he would even join the team anyways at this point. So, I don't know. Doesn't feel like a crazy blow to me that we're not going to get him. He's likely just going to go pro in Europe or something and play there.
Yeah, I don't. It's not happening. Like, first of all, what are you doing? What's this kid doing? I'm going to go join a team in the middle as soon as they start conference play in January. I'm sure he's good at basketball and I'm sure he's a nice kid, but this seems weird to me. You never see this ever working out. So,
no.
I mean, whatever. If you want to get excited about him retweeting players that go here or whatever else, that's fine. Get excited, but he's not coming. He's not coming to Arkansas. I'll eat my words if I have to, but he's not coming here. So
yeah, don't get your hopes up, Hog fans. It seems very. I would say it feels very unlikely at this point. I guess it's technically still possible. There's interest on both sides, but likely there's some mumbo jumbo red tape somewhere in there. Like he has to have grades or something. You know, something that we won't ever know about, and then he'll just go pro because. Can't connect the dot. You know, it's going to be something like that.
Yeah. 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 It's, I don't know. it's not even worth wasting. I mean, there was like 10 minutes of excitement for me, and then I was like, nope, this isn't going to work. So this is a team. We'll see what Musselman can do. I still don't expect us to make the tournament. No, that's wow. Like a bit of a downer. I don't, but
think we'll get eaten up in SEC play?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not going to be as we expect. I just feel like we're going to be outsized.
Think we started hot and that we're going to kind of, we've already kind of tailed off the past two games a bit. Yeah. Think that kind of trend will continue and then we'll kind of roller coaster from here on out.
Well, I feel like coaches will be enough tape on Musselman and what he's doing. What he's doing is awesome. I'm not taking anything away from what Musselman's doing. It's an incredible, he has not much talent on this team at all. And he's essentially playing six, maybe seven guys. So what he's doing is awesome, but they're going to get tape on him, and the bigs in SEC play are a lot bigger than the bigs that we're playing now, and they're a lot more skilled. And you can see it, these mid-major schools, like being able to isolate and feed, draw up plays for their big men to score easy buckets on us. And so it's, and not faulting him at all. And so even if he gets this team to the NIT, it meets what they did last year, and we don't have Daniel Gafford. So we're exactly the same team without Daniel Gafford. And that guy, he's a first rounder. He's a lottery pick, wasn't he? So it's like, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. There's a few things you said that I could probably counter or argue
with you.
Go. Okay, so you said, there's not a lot of talent on the team. I would disagree with that. I think there's talent on the team. It's just more of a patchwork talent at the moment. It's not like the full perfect ensemble, and we all will know that. You add a few pieces, and it would be a much better ensemble, but there's still plenty of talent there. And I think that's what we've seen thus far this season is it different. Like Jimmy Witt has been he wasn't on the team last year. He's been our best player.
Yeah.
Period. Jimmy Witt. Isaiah Joe has not been our best player. You could maybe Mason Jones, but Jimmy Witt won, I think today they announced that he was the player of the tournament for the whatever collegiate, I don't even know what they were calling it, but basically, the teams we were playing were all part of like a collegiate, what was it called?
They have
Collegiate Hoops Roadshow. So whatever all these teams do these little things. I think it allows them, if they're part of like a tournament, it's not even a tournament, but if they label it as this, where you play this, all the teams play each other, you get like an extra game or something on your schedule, something like that. That's why you see them in like Maui Invitational and the different ones. But yeah, technically a lot of these other teams were part of this Collegiate Hoops Roadshow thing that we were a part of.
But to your patchwork point, yes, because we don't have a big man. Adrio is playing center. Adrio is really a small forward, right? This guy, it says he's 6'6". I've seen 6'5 as well, but he's playing people who are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". He'll be guarding Charles Bassey at Western. He's really our only, Reggie Chain, he's a true power forward. He's 6'8". But outside of that, there's no depth. And so there's no talent behind those guys. We get Ethan Henderson. I don't know if he's a legitimate player or not. He's 6'8" as well, but that's what worries me the most.
And we can definitely say that this will be Musselman's worst team he has probably for a while. And mainly, like you said, it's because of depth. We don't have, we've got however many, two or three players on the team now that are having to wait, for their eligibility. They're having to sit out this year. Connor Vanover probably being the biggest name that's still sitting there. But we'll just see. I'm with you that there's, the way my mind always works with this stuff is I see these stories of like, how do I see the team or the story of this team potentially unfolding? And I definitely can see both stories. One being where we're kind of eaten up, we lose momentum, we don't make the tournament. We're an NIT team. And then another part of me thinks, wow, well, we could continue playing really good defense. Isaiah Joe could actually get kind of in rhythm. Desi Sills could kind of get in rhythm. We could kind of click the way we haven't recently. And then we can see even increased, you know, or maybe not increased play, but at least hang with plenty of teams and maybe go, you know, maybe 500-ish in the SEC. And that might be enough, you know, to make the tournament. I think if we get there, we'd squeak in. I think we'd be one of the last SEC teams in. But we'll see. Either way, I think it's going to be we're going to like it. I think either way, we're going to have a fun season. Either way.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a fun season. We'll beat someone we're not supposed to, and it'll be entertaining. But how comical is Desi Sills' three-point line of 2 of 30?
How does that happen?
2 of 30.
Like, you've got to...
so bad.
You've got to get back to the norm sometime, right? Like, you've got to just, like, hit 6 out of 6 in a game, you know, to correct that.
He is a high-energy player. He's got the third most minutes on our team, and you can tell Mus likes him. But, man, 2 of 30. That's so bad.
Yeah, we've got to figure that out. I'm sure Mus has a plan.
I can close my eyes and hit 2 out of 30 from three-point land. I can close my eyes, and obviously no one guarding me. But I can close my eyes and hit 2 of 30.
I feel very confident. Yeah, I think I would agree with that. That is crazy to think about. When you actually put it into, like, you yourself making shots, you're like, yeah, I could. That sounds easy to me. Yikes.
And most of his shots were, I mean, he's got an open look.
Yeah, they're pretty wide open. You know, at least half of those were wide open.
Okay. Sorry. I'm curious. It's got to turn at some point. It's got to.
I don't see how it can't.
No power.
No. Well, let's touch on hockey just a little bit today. Hockey hasn't played since we last recorded. Their next game is December 6th, which is a Friday. They're playing at Ole Miss, which is a conference game. They're playing 2 games there, and then they'll play December the 13th, which is the next Friday, at Kansas. So same old, still saying the same stuff, but keep that on your radar. They've got a couple games coming up. They've had a nice long break to either get better or to get really sluggish, so we'll see what happens. But most likely they're going to come out and dominate.
Of course they're going to dominate.
Of course. They're Razorback hockey. It's all they know.
Seriously, it is. It really is.
So, did you watch the game, the football game on Saturday? And if so, you know, what'd you think?
I watched the game. Our team stinks.
I was wrong. I was wrong about two specific things. One, I thought more fans would show up to that game. No. And that's bad. Because I've seen that there are attendance metrics or attendance in the contract. There has to be a certain number of attendance for the War Memorial Games to continue. And I assume we got there, but I think it was relatively close to screwing it up. I think I saw something like 33,000 was the announced attendance.
Jeez.
33,000 at a home conference game. 33,000, like even in Dom W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, like even if we're playing like a non-con FCS team, we're gonna have more than 33,000. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's bad.
Imagine if that game was a non-conference game, man. Like,
like it had been under Bielema. Yeah. Yeah, it would have been 15. It'd probably been half that. Eh, I don't know. But yeah, it looked empty. It looked. I'm not saying it's embarrassing. I think Arkansas fans hate being embarrassed. I think that's the number one thing that's like in Arkansas culture. Arkansans hate being embarrassed.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of we're always used to being kind of like second class or like, you know, people can make fun of us because we're from Arkansas and we don't like to be embarrassed. But you know, the attendance numbers were reflective of everything, I think. The team was playing. They were okay. Jack Lindsey, not okay. He was not okay.
Bad. I was excited to see him play, but whew, not good.
Ben Hicks. Not good. Ben Hicks had a moment.
Goodness.
That was embarrassing, perfect. I think. What in the world was that?
What a way to end the season than to have Ben Hicks come on for the last drive and just completely whiff through those pass attempts, four pass attempts. Oh, man. So fitting. And his last pass attempt just shoots straight up in the air.
What was that?
I want you to think about this, Tommy. I want you to think about this because this actually just hit me like as we were sitting here. Arkansas faced two SEC opponents this year who had their coach fired at the end of the season. And those teams both beat Arkansas pretty handedly. And it's still their coach still got fired. So thinking about those two pieces of obviously Arkansas was defeated. I mean, it wasn't even close, still got fired. And then also, we knocked off LSU as the number one team. They were number one when they played us, and we actually hurt their ranking after they destroyed us and they jumped down to number two. So we're having an impact out there, Tommy. So think about that.
We're that bad. We're bad.
I want you to think about not only was this the worst Arkansas football season in history, but we have been a part of the worst two-year span in Arkansas football history. Something to be, I mean, we stuck it out. I feel like we've made it to the end. That is the worst two teams you have ever will have ever seen play football at Arkansas.
It's pretty inconceivable to me that we could be worse. And I think you might even disagree. You can see how we could be worse, but I just can't. Like, that's the positive. I'm like, it can't get worse. I mean, obviously, I guess it could if, like, a bomb goes off in the stadium and every player gets killed. I guess that would be worse. Yeah. But any conceivable thing, just, I don't know how we can get worse.
No.
It's not like people want to say we don't have talent right now, which whatever that means, we do have talent. We have enough talent to win some games. We have just as much talent as Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Mizzou. You know, obviously those aren't great teams, but they're doing a lot better than us. We have just as much talent as Kentucky. It's all about coaching. Like, I'm sorry. We don't have the talent that elite SEC schools have. Don't get me wrong there, but talent isn't the problem. Now, you could say we have this assumed talent that's not showing up. Well, that's coaching. You know, that is coaching. Easily, you've got players on Mizzou who are Arkansas. I mean, I hate calling them this, but there are Arkansas outcasts. They are the guys that we didn't want on our football team because we didn't think they were good enough for the University of Arkansas. And they're playing against us and beating us on Saturday.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of talent. Don't argue that there's not talent. There's talent. It's just lack of leadership is bottom line. And that could be from the players, but it's mainly from the coaches, obviously.
Yeah. Hit the nail on the head.
Chad, I know you couldn't care less at this point about the coaching search, the next Razorback football coach. A lot of buzz today about Lane Kiffin. A lot of buzz. Couldn't have been more. Just smoke galore everywhere. Hunter Yurecek is tweeting out GIFs of stealth planes. We've got plane trackers like crazy. John Neighbors is just going nuts. He's loving it. I'm loving it too. I'm paying attention to all of it. It's fun. I don't even know if you call it fake. There's just all kinds of craziness on Twitter. There was somebody that tweeted out something about Mike Leach being announced at Ole Miss being their new coach, and it seemed real, but it wasn't real. We got Chris Peterson stepping away from football out of nowhere. No one saw that coming. Of course, every Arkansas person was like, oh, he's coming to Arkansas now. No, he's not. That's
exactly what he was doing.
Zero chance of that. Oh, man. What do you think, Chad? I'll just throw it to you. Gosh. I know you don't care, so I don't even want to really throw it to you.
Here's what's happening is that Nolan Richardson's coming out of retirement. He is coaching our football team, and Shaquille O'Neal is going to be the defensive coordinator. Great defense.
I could see him being a good tight end coach.
And Penny Hardaway is actually quitting basketball and going to be our offensive coordinator.
Penny, nice.
There it is.
Scottie Pippen might.
Ooh, Scottie Pippen.
He might be a good wide receiver coach, running back coach.
He's coaching high school basketball right now. I bet we can get him.
Maybe. Scotty.
No, Scotty's not. That's a.
You're thinking
Scottie
of Thurman.
That's
yeah.
Scottie Pippen.
Same guy.
Scotty.
Different levels of, you know, one's college, one's pro.
Coaching search, blah. Yeah, supposedly everyone always, I have a source. It's Lane Kiffin, whatever. That's fine. I'm good with Lane Kiffin. I'm fine with that. You good with that?
Sure. Like I said, I think in the last show,
sure.
I think he has the most potential to bring in a staff and to bring, I hate using the word fear because no one's going to be afraid of us for a long time, but he has the most ability to bring some weight to our brand out of everyone. He's the most known. Other coaches he'll attract good coaches, I think. There was an interesting, there's an interesting tweet that I saw. I don't know if this guy stole this or if he came up with it himself, but the name of the Twitter account is Brad Fairchild at BradDog8. He tweeted this. I just thought it was interesting. He said, "Not sure anyone cares, but for perspective on the impact and reach of those said to be under consideration for Arkansas's football coach, here are their Twitter followers," which I know Twitter followers aren't anything really, but it does show you how someone's popularity and celebrity for sure. Mike Norvell, 47.7 thousand followers. Matt Campbell, 63.1. Justin Fuente, 68.8. Mike Leach, big jump up here, 235,000. So Mike Leach clearly has the most. So if you added all those guys together, you'd have 415,000. Lane Kiffin has 435,000. So Lane Kiffin has more influence, so to speak, or celebrity presence than all those guys combined as far as Twitter's concerned, which, I don't know, just kind of interesting. Nothing crazy, but.
How many followers does Kim Kardashian have?
I'd have to look it up. It's gonna be a lot. It's kind of a fun game. How many can you guess, Chad?
Of Kim?
Yes. How many?
2 million.
I would have been. Oh, you're way wrong.
200 million.
Still way wrong. I pointed down.
162 million. Oh gosh, that's insane.
That's a lot. What's funny is today I was on Twitter and I had the search and I just searched for Lane Kiffin. That was my search just to see what was going on. And it's crazy. Yeah. Like every few seconds, there'd be a new tweet about Lane Kiffin every few seconds. And I was like, can you imagine being on Twitter with somebody tweeting, a new person tweeting at you every 3 seconds saying something stupid? And then multiply that by 1,000 for Kim Kardashian, you know?
It's insane.
Like you can't even, I don't know. It's just weird. It's crazy that I got a glimpse into that just with Lane Kiffin of all people, you know? I can't imagine how it is. Like, I bet John Neighbors would have a funny perspective on that. Just like, it's just a lot, you know? There's a lot of junk out there that we go through now.
That is very true.
Well, all right, Chad. I have a feeling that next time we record our next show, we will have a new coach.
I think so.
Maybe, well, I haven't talked to you about this, but maybe we would have to do like a special edition short little bonus episode or something on our reaction to the new coach. But you don't really care.
Yeah.
So maybe that wouldn't be really good. But I care.
I mean, I care. I just don't care. I care.
I feel like there is definitely a large portion of the fan base in that boat that you are. I really do think that. It's like,
I mean, I want the football team to be good, but
but it doesn't matter. Whoever we could hire Urban Meyer. Let's say that happened. And sure, that would be kind of exciting, but still you're like, well, he could still stink. That's where Arkansas fans are at. Like, they don't care. You could hire the best coach in the world, and we're like, we've got to see it before we're going to believe anything. And we'll see. I don't know. Oh, did you see how the players were kind of, you know, trolling, so to speak, on social media? What were your thoughts about that?
That was really funny. Everyone's just freaking out, man. Everyone's just reading way into everything, right? I mean, so it's just funny that they kind of picked up on it and just started messing with everyone. So I'm good with it. I probably would do the same thing if I was a player too. So
specifically, let's pinpoint Dre Greenlaw. Did you see what Dre Greenlaw did today?
Yeah.
So last, whenever that was, he had the infamous Arkansas. He's from the University of Arkansas. Did you hear that on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's kind of came out that was a bet because of the LSU game with another linebacker. Whatever. I don't care. I'm still not okay with it. I don't care. What kind of bet were you into that you would potentially have to do that on national TV when you know that that's going to embarrass a lot of people?
And you knew Arkansas was going to lose. I mean,
so I'm still a little bit like, where are you at, bud? And then he did this thing today, you know, where he was like saying he knew who the coach was. It was a good hire or whatever, and just messing with people. I don't know. I'm not so sure if I'm cool with Dre Greenlaw at the moment. he was a fine player for us, but
maybe
I'm not happy
he
with
knows.
Him.
Maybe he knows who the coaching hire is going to be.
No one knows. No one knows, Chad.
Maybe Dre does.
No one
maybe
knows.
Maybe Dre knows.
all today, it did feel like everything was leading up to a Kiffin announcement today. It really felt that way. But then I was like, part of you sits back and thinks, so you're telling me that literally zero media somehow know about this? Zero people were saying, yes, Lane Kiffin's about to be announced. It was just like, okay, so apparently they're just going to announce it to players in a meeting and somehow be able to pull that off? That seems pretty incredible. It'd be the first time in history. but I think we'll know it's about to happen when you start seeing more media members jumping on it. And it was all just kind of vague stuff about Lane Kiffin. So,
yeah.
We shall see what we end up with. Is there any candidate that you just hate the idea of? I don't think there is, but
no. Yeah. I'm fine. Chad Morris, I don't want him.
Chad, he's gone.
Yeah. I don't want Chad Morris or Brett Bielema. I could do without either one of those.
Okay. So you have very low expectations right now. That's good.
Yeah, I do.
That's very good, to be honest. Well, everyone listening to this show, if you've made it this far, we love you. You're amazing. You're amazing people. You're amazing Razorback fans. We appreciate you.
Yep.
And Chad and I really want you to go on Twitter, follow the show on Twitter at @humble_podcast. We always tell you to do. Please call into our phone number. We would love to hear from you. 615-392-0107. Literally, you could text anything on there. Except for vulgar things. I will not mention vulgar things. Or if you do a phone call, I actually had somebody ask me this. If you do a phone call and you cuss or whatever, I'll just beep it out. It'll be great. It'll be like 90s radio. You know, it'll be like Eminem. I'll just do like a beep, or I could even put in radio edit like they did in that one Slim Shady song. So don't feel weird about that. We'll figure it out. We want to keep it pretty clean. Yeah. One thing, I don't think I really asked this very much, but if you haven't done it already, why not? If you're on your app, go ahead and give us some good ratings or whatever, or not, if you can be honest. But more importantly, give us some thoughts about like a review. Tell us how Chad's doing. That's really what I want to know. Write a review on Chad. I don't want to hear anything about me. Just let me know about Chad. How about that?
Yeah.
So do that. It helps. Apparently, everyone always says the exact same thing. So whatever. Do that. That's great. It'll be awesome. Don't follow Chad on Twitter. He's made a special request.
Nope.
Just DM him constantly. And that's about it, man. That's all I can think of.
That's it.
Well, as Mac Davis taught us a long time ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially when you're an Arkansas Razorback fan.
Whoopig, Tommy. Whoopig.